Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got tremendous pleasure from watching Dexter over the years. I don't know why you want to knock it.
Jeff Lutz.
I killed a guy in his sleep last night.
What is he, Bob Huggins? The only thing you offer this show,
I hated the voice,
is your 19 impersonations that sound the same.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel.
Hello and welcome. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're here until 4 o'clock today. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power, producing, engineering the show. Another hot one here in late July. No surprise there. We'll have some NBC baseball talk a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about the Heritage Classic going on this week out at Rolling Hills Country Club with Jay Delling. All that coming. We've got a Bob and Jeff draft a little bit later in the show, but before we get going on all that, did my St. Louis Cardinals just acquire a starting pitcher, a dire need, and a right-handed bat, a dire need, and give up a guy who hasn't played in a year? Did that just happen, or am I dreaming that?
Well, yes, that happened. However, to just play the other side of the coin, Tommy Edman, while healthy, is an extremely valuable player. And
We gave up a – listen, I love Tommy Edman. Hadn't played in a year.
I understand. But if you're just talking about value and how other teams assess value, then if Tommy Edman had been playing and will play, that might be closer to what looks like a fair deal. On paper now, it does not. It looks like you fleeced him.
If you had told me that we would give up one player – Tommy Edman, a good player. But we got those positions covered. At least we got guys who can play them. And we get back a guy who still is very effective against right-handed pitching.
Left-handed pitching.
Left-handed pitching and Tommy Pham. And we can't do anything against left-handed pitching. So he'll be in the lineup against lefties. I would guess he'll be in the lineup quite often because the Cardinals need that kind of juice that Tommy Pham brings. And then you get a 32-year-old starting pitcher who's kind of resurrected his career by going overseas. He's pitched with a horrible team all year long, yet he's been pretty good with the White Sox.
Of course.
He's a winning record for a team that is about 400 below 500.
Yeah, I would say he's been good, not just pretty good. I would say he's been squarely in the good range.
And to pitch for a team like that can't be easy.
He knew what he was pitching for.
Understood. And now he gets it. He gets sent to a marquee franchise in the game of baseball.
He didn't go to the Dodgers.
You're angry.
I am beside myself. I am consumed. I am.
And he's talking about the Guardians who haven't done anything yet.
There's no yet.
And I emphasize the word yet.
There's no yet. This, ever since, the only message.
Took 2 of 3 from Philly, in Philly. Why not be a little happy?
I would be happy if the front office believed in the team enough to invest a little bit more in it and added a player or two that could help them.
You saw the Royals went out and got Michael Lorenzen.
Now, I don't really get that.
He'll probably push Alec Marsh to the bullpen. He's had a pretty good year. Michael Lorenzen is a good pitcher.
He's had a lucky year.
You're just angry. You're very angry. Had the Guardians got him, he'd be the...
I would be okay with it. I wouldn't be excited. I wouldn't be ecstatic.
But they gave up a... The Royals made
a pretty good reliever.
He's okay. He hadn't been in the big leagues.
Well, a lot of guys aren't in the big leagues that are good.
They're trying to get to the postseason.
Yeah, it's a win move for the Royals. I'm not saying that the trade wasn't good. We'll see what Michael Lorenzen.
I don't know what Michael Lorenzen will
bring. I don't know if he'll be better than Marsh, but if he pushes Marsh to the pin and he can come in and throw 97, then yeah, you've got a plus there.
But I'm just ecstatic, and I've been as critical as you can possibly be about the Cardinals, their front office. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Surely there has to be a fairly high-level top 10 type prospect in this trade to get Fetty and Pham for Tommy Edman. But there's not. There's no prospect. They did not trade anyone from their current roster or in their system.
Correct.
I'm astounded.
Well, that's how it happened.
Well, how do you feel about it? Are you angry with me?
Not angry with you.
Are you a little irritated with me?
Why would I be angry with you? You didn't do anything.
But yeah, I'm gloating about it, and
good.
I know.
I mean, you should be. You got a pretty good start.
Yeah, I thought you said he was good.
You got a good starting pitcher, and you got a guy that will probably blow up the clubhouse. But other than that, we'll see.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
What do you mean?
What do you mean blow up the clubhouse?
I don't know. Is he a guy really that you want to bring that personality aboard?
The Cardinals need all of that they can get. They got a group of veterans. He'll be just fine. He came up in the Cardinal system. We're talking about Tommy Pham. He was a Cardinal for quite a period of time, and he wanted to be with the Cardinals so much so that he went to their spring training facility in Jupiter, Florida this spring, talking about, hey, can I hook on here? They didn't feel like they were in need of Tommy Pham at the time. He got a deal with the White Sox. He's been okay, especially against left-handed pitching, which is what the Cardinals – they don't have a right-handed threat. Now, I would expect that before tomorrow's deadline comes, you'll see either Brandon Crawford or Dylan Carlson, maybe even Matt Carpenter, although I doubt it. Brandon Crawford and Dylan Carlson are probably on borrowed time.
But not in a trade sense. Maybe Carlson has some value, but Crawford doesn't, and Carpenter doesn't.
Brandon Crawford is a giant, and he just can't play anymore. Now, I notice that he's always in the middle of things, in the dugout, talking to players, talking to Ollie Marmol. I can see him in that role.
Well, go be a coach then.
Yeah, maybe bring him as a coach for the remainder of the year.
I don't know if he's a big league coach already, but I'm sure he can.
Come on.
Start somewhere. Maybe you hold on to him in the organization, although it seems like he'd be in the
Giants
organization.
Seems like he'd be a giant, but you never know. Anyway, I've known since last night the Cardinals were interested in Eric Fetty, and that Tommy Edman was likely to be the trade chip. But I thought there'd be more, and I didn't know there'd be Pham. And I'm happy.
You should be. Nothing to be upset about. Your team tries. The Royals try. The Yankees try. The Orioles try. The Phillies try.
The Astros try.
The
Mariners try.
The Guardians sit on their hands and give us excuses.
Let's see what happens over the next 24 hours.
Dude. Who knows this franchise and this team? It's why I'm not unhappy with Travis Bezzano as a number one pick, but he was the zero risk pick. If they had taken Charlie Condon, then you can maybe they're starting to evolve, but they are a zero risk franchise and they're happy with 85 wins. So whatever.
Well, I feel you. Are you leaving them?
This is tough. It is.
Are you considering leaving the Guardians?
No, but I will.
That's what you said in your text.
Yeah, and I will continue to say it. I will continue to blow off steam that way because I'm hot and I'm burning hot. And I'm not going to be with my phone tonight. I'm not going to put myself through that. I'll look at it at 9 o'clock or 10 or whatever and see if anything happened. I know that it won't. And we'll move on to tomorrow and see what happens. Nothing.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right.
And you'll be on your phone. You can't resist.
No, I'm not going to be with my phone.
Where are you going to be?
I don't know. We're not going to be.
Well, I want to hear more about.
I don't know what we're going to do.
You said
but
we
might go somewhere, but
really?
I'm not taking my phone.
You're just going to leave your phone home.
Yeah, that's right.
What if I try to get a hold of you?
You can text Shannon.
So you're going out for dinner, and you're going to leave your phone?
Not necessarily out for dinner, just going out.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't know yet.
What does that mean? Is that because you don't want to pay attention to the trade deadline?
That's correct.
So you just want to go out?
Yes. I want to wash my hands of it for tonight and back at it tomorrow, which will be agonizing and painful, but eliminate the agony and pain for this evening.
And you're not going to say, Shannon, look up ESPN for me.
No.
What if I text her? Hey, you better check this Guardians move.
Please don't.
What if it's a great move?
Well, then
you don't want to know about it.
No, I do not. Because now that you've said that, if we don't get a text, then I'll know that nothing happened. So just let it be, leave it alone.
But if you do get a text,
but I don't want a text.
Well, I'd want to know.
I only want to be.
You texted me some congratulations, like I'm just on my phone all the time.
I want to be disappointed.
Why'd you do that? Why don't you tell me what happened?
I figured you knew you got Fetty. I figured you'd be.
I'm involved in League 42 things, I'm not checking this stuff. So why didn't you say, hey, good move you guys made getting Fetty?
Just wanted you to find out on your own.
I didn't know what congratulations meant.
Well,
my first thought was that KWCH had decided to honor me in some way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
For what?
I don't know. I said in some way.
That doesn't sound like good journalism.
Probably not. But anyway, you won 2 of 3 from the Phillies.
Yes.
We lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals, and we're pretty fortunate to get the third one. The Royals, after winning the opener against the Cubs, lost 2 of 3. And the Cubs are one of those interesting teams to watch at the deadline. They got Paredes. How do you say his name?
Isak Paredes.
They got him from Tampa. And that's a young guy with a lot of control. Now, they did give up Christopher Morel. I'm glad to get him out of the division.
He's like 190.
I know, but he's good. He's got talent. Now, will he ever unlock it? I don't know. But I'm glad to see him gone, frankly.
Well, if he's going to excel anywhere, it'll be someplace like Tampa, because they usually can get the most out of a lot of their players.
And Tommy Edman will go play really well for the Dodgers. I mean, I know that.
Is he coming? I mean, he's been rehabbing. Is he back now or soon?
He's close. He'll be in their lineup sometime this week.
He's like their new, what was the guy's name, Chris Taylor?
I like Tommy Edman. He gave us a lot of good moments. But to be able to turn him into two areas of weakness is pretty good.
White Sox getting Miguel Vargas. I always thought that dude could really hit. He came through with Tulsa a few years ago.
He hadn't hit yet.
And if you give him every day at bats, then we'll see what happens.
Well, the White Sox are spinning their wheels a little. We'll see. I mean, they're getting rid of everybody. Luis Robert should be next. And they'll get a haul for him.
Crochet. They traded Kopech.
Yeah, they still got guys to trade. I was a little surprised John Brebbia. And maybe the Cardinals will revisit that and bring him back to St. Louis. They could still use a bullpen guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. You'll probably get what you could use.
Why are you getting
Guardians?
So,
you know what Guardians make? Excuses.
Why are you getting upset with me? I didn't do this. You just said it earlier.
I'm just saying, you probably get what you want.
I don't know.
I don't get what I want.
What do you want?
A player.
Just a player.
I told you, they've literally made no trades in the last at least 4 years, going back to the pandemic year. No trades to add to the Major League roster. Zero. Unless you count Esteban Florial, who was a minor leaguer.
Well, but, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm sorry to hear it. But when you make these trades, who's the guy you got last year from Tampa?
Manzardo.
And he hadn't done anything.
Well, he should be with the big league
team.
He's
down there in AAA. What's he hit, 230?
He's got like a 9-something OPS.
In AAA?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
And they brought him up, and what'd he have in Cleveland?
He hit a lot of doubles, but he struggled a little bit. just guys get squeezed out. You already have a first baseman. It's just not a well-run organization.
Well, I haven't thought the Cardinals were well-run for a while. Not just the last year and a half.
They make deals. They at least go out.
They do try
to address stuff.
You know, they make deals. They've got they still have prospects they can deal here.
Right.
They'll do something else before
well, even
the trade
if they
deadline.
Don't, you came
yeah,
away
but they'll
with
do something else. They've got to get a bullpen person.
Well, good luck.
They don't have it in their bullpen. They just don't. So they got to get another arm, and we'll see if they can pull that off.
I'm sure it'll be fun for you. It's not fun for me.
Well, I wish you the best. I hope things happen.
Thank you.
We got through baseball around the clock out at X Stadium with the NBC World Series. A little bit of a rain delay pushed things back some, but a lot of games played. They're making headway. Four more games today, four tomorrow, and then the top three teams in each pool, four-team pools, advance to a single elimination bracket that starts Wednesday.
Correct.
Right now, the Derby Twins, and we'll be talking to their coach, Colton Flax, they're 2-0. They're one of those teams that is for sure going to go to the bracket play. And that's my Derby Twins, by
the way. Yeah, they'll be in the Final 12, no doubt about it.
You like me to look back, don't you?
Yeah, go for it.
We didn't have the Derby Twins when I was a kid, obviously. But there was a year or two where they put together a Derby team to try to get in the NBC tournament, state tournament at the time, because you had to go through several layers to make it. And that was a big deal. I remember going to quite a few of their games.
You didn't pitch for them?
They never amount. Well, I was a kid. I was in grade school or maybe middle school. But they never amounted to a whole lot. And
unfortunately, what was the name of that team?
I can't remember what the name of that team was. It was just around for a year or two. But it was fun. And now you got the Derby Twins down there.
They're a staple in that community.
You got the Hayesville Aviators. You got all kinds of teams everywhere.
We're a summer baseball haven, no doubt about it. Not as much now as we used to be. Are the El Dorado Broncos still a thing?
They are not. In fact, I'm not sure who plays in El Dorado. But the Broncos folded that franchise a few years back, and they certainly would be. You know what? That's what we're going to do today for our Bob and Jeff draft. Our top all-time NBC franchises.
All right. Well, no one's going to be able to vote on that.
I don't care.
That's the draft?
That's the draft. Max can't even weigh in. He doesn't really know much about the NBC. But that's going to be the draft today, and that'll be fun. I look forward to that. Top eight each.
My friend Scott reminds me we did get Noah Syndergaard last year, so I apologize.
No, there you go.
And he was fantastic.
Yeah,
they only cut him about a month later.
Well, you're with a team that's for whatever reason, and it's a lot of it has to do with what do you rank in attendance this year?
Pretty strong.
With a really good team.
We're well over a million. We're on pace to do them.
Where do you rank?
I don't know where they rank, but the fans have shown up for the Guardians this year and been supportive and been loud, and they're a good team at home, and a lot of people want to see them succeed to a level they haven't succeeded in 76 long years.
The Cardinals are sixth. With a marginal team. It's Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Padres, Braves, Cardinals, Cubs, Astros, Cleveland 20th, averaging 25,000 per night. So not atrocious, but certainly with a team like this, you'd like to see more.
They've had a lot more big crowds lately. It takes a while, for whatever reason, for Cleveland to warm up to their baseball team.
Kansas City should be ashamed, 26th, barely ahead of the White Sox. They're only drawing a couple thousand more per game than the worst team, perhaps, in baseball history. Baltimore only 18th.
I don't know why fans don't go to their games. It's weird.
Colorado still draws 30,000 a night. How does that...
With a terrible franchise.
How does that happen? Because you're in Denver, and the weather's always great.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like being outside at a ball game in moderate temperatures.
And, yeah, you should. They should be celebrated for continuing to show up for a team that hasn't rewarded them.
Right. To be in the top half of Major League Baseball in attendance, kudos to the Colorado Rockies, and those folks need to try to put a better team on the field. And they're getting there. Charlie Condon will help. Maybe they'll make some strides.
Maybe.
Time for a break. When we come back, Colton Flax, manager of the Derby Twins. They are making a push in the NBC World Series, 2-0 in pool play as we speak. Back in action tomorrow night at X Stadium. We'll talk to the head man of the Derby Twins, Colton Flax, next. Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Colton Flax from the Derby Twins, their manager, and they are 2-0 so far in the NBC World Series at X Stadium. They've beaten, get this, the Liberal BJs and the Boulder Colorado Collegians, two of the most historic franchises in NBC history. Colton, hello, welcome.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it's been a good start, and looking forward to continue throughout this week.
No question. So tell us about your team down there in Derby. You had a very good regular season as well. Just tell us about some of the players you have and how that team has caught on a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we kind of had a slow start to the summer. That's just because how competitive our league is, but we have a mixture of guys from all levels. You know, we have guys from JUCO scene, from, you know, Cali, and then we have guys from JUCOs all the way out in Arizona, and then we have all the way up to, you know, your hometown Wichita State Shocker Division I baseball. So we have players from all levels throughout that come here during the summer, and we've been playing well, and we've had a good mix. And during the second half of the season, we went on a pretty good run to kind of finish our season strong and kind of make our way into the NBC World Series.
So we'll discuss the reason why you're no longer the Hayesville Aviators manager. There was some funny trading going on there, but did your recruiting this year and building a team, did it build off of the relationships you had made there, because you're also the coach for campus in Hayesville, or did you kind of have to start fresh?
Our GM Jeff Wells, so my role with Hayesville, you know, I did most of the recruiting, and you know, I still have those contacts and still recruited from the same colleges for the Derby Twins, but our GM Jeff Wells, he does a great job to contact guys, and that's something that he loves to do himself as well. So some of the load was actually taken off of me this summer with trying to recruit as many players in, because Jeff does a really good job contacting guys in the fall, and he helps recruit. So we work together to recruit guys, and you know, we obviously communicated really well with one another and kind of what guys we wanted and wanted to bring in, and we put ourselves a roster together. So, but definitely the same contacts that I had with Hayesville, I kind of took over to Derby, and excited to have those guys and still have them with our summer ball squad.
Talking with Colton Flax, as Jeff mentioned, also a head baseball coach at Campus High School. You get your opportunity to coach collegiate baseball in the summer. How does that work out? Which of those do you prefer? Does it kind of rejuvenate you, I would guess, in both ways, going from high school to college and then college to high school?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you I like coaching college better, because it's more of a game management style. Whenever you get to the college games, you know, you're recruiting and bringing your own players in to play for you. So it's kind of a fun aspect. You get to recruit your guys, and then it's on you for who you bring in. And then, you know, it's more when they come, they know how to play the game of baseball pretty well. And I mean, you're coaching throughout the summer, but it's a lot more game management set to where high school, you know, I have a really big passion for it because, you know, I'm still in Hazel for and at campus, and that's where I went to high school. And, you know, that's where I grew up. So I want to succeed and do well there. And, you know, that's more of a, you know, a skill development, and you have a lot shorter period of time with what you have to try to have a short regular season, even though they extended it this year. But it's definitely two different aspects of baseball, but I really enjoy doing both. But if I had to choose one, obviously, I think most guys would enjoy the summer college baseball style because it's more laid back when you kind of bring in your own guys. And obviously the talent's wild, but again, there's nothing better than being the head coach for my hometown where I grew up and played as well.
Well, I'll say this. I'm glad you get to experience Derby, being a Hazeville guy. Everybody should get to experience the wonderment that comes with being in Derby. I say that as a Derby guy, and I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were a Derby guy. I figured that would get brought up, so that's awesome.
So we alluded to it just a second ago, but, you know, your brother was the Derby Twins coach last year, and you were with Hazeville. Now it's the opposite. How did that all go down?
Yeah, so kind of long story short, there was an opportunity that I thought that was going to arise with the new facility out in Park City that they're building, that complex they're building out there. We were kind of thinking that might be a possibility for this summer that they were talking about building it. So before my season was up last year with Hazeville, I was reached out by somebody that was wanting to take a team there to Park City, and they asked if I had any interest in, you know, being the head coach out there and running the new team that's going to be out at that new complex in Park City. And I jumped on that opportunity, and I wanted to do that, and kind of, you know, I was going to get away from Hazeville and go do my own thing. But that obviously did not work out to where, you know, it wasn't going to be built in time. And as soon as I left Hazeville, my brother, he actually, you know, that was, I contacted him and told him the Hazeville job was going to be open. And he lives in Hazeville, and he's close to Hazeville. And so he kind of wanted to do that. So he took the Hazeville head job. And my intentions were still to go up to Park City and start the new team up there. And, or, you know, it's actually the Cheney Diamond Dogs, and I played with them during the summer, but we were going to try to move them out there and be the Park City Diamond Dogs. And you know, we found out that it wasn't going to be built in time. So kind of early fall and late summer, I was kind of scrambling to find another gig because that wasn't going to be there for us to do. So the Derby job was still open. So Jeff contacted me, and it kind of fell into place to where, you know, we flip-flopped. It wasn't like a trade or anything like that. That wasn't the original intention. It's just kind of how it worked out and how things ended up being.
Talking with Colton Flax, manager of the Derby Twins. They are 2-0 in the NBC World Series, back at it tomorrow night. They are already assured of being in bracket play, and that starts Wednesday. How'd your season series against your brother and the Aviators go? Who won that series?
We went 2-2. We split the series.
Oh, that's good. That's good for your family.
My parents usually only come out to those four games a year. They don't like coming out in the heat, but they come and watch us play one another. So it makes it better whenever we do split. Even though I want to win every game, it's not bad whenever you get a split with the other siblings.
So how much did the Hutchinson Monarchs winning this thing last year kind of pump new life and new blood into everybody else? Because it was starting to look like Santa Barbara and Seattle were becoming a little bit too dominant, maybe. How important was it to see the Monarchs do what they did last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've grown up Wichita the whole time, and, you know, everyone knows that Santa Barbara and Seattle's kind of the team to beat when you get to the tournament. And what Hutch did, and what was more impressive last year, is you know, they had a slow first half of the season, and you know, they finished like third overall in our league last year, kind of similar to what we're doing now and kind of what we did. You know, we finished third overall, but you know, they didn't take first or second in our league last year, and they kind of got in last minute like we did, and but they got hot at the right time, and you know, they ended up having a really good tournament, and obviously defeating Santa Barbara in the championship. So it just goes to show that, you know, this league around here, it's really competitive, especially our top half. And the guys that we bring in, you know, they can compete, even though they might not be all Power Five guys. Baseball is kind of one of those sports where you can find really good ball players everywhere, and you can compete with the top level players. So we're hoping to kind of keep on that same trend, and hopefully our league keeps doing well in the NBC World Series.
How much do guys, players, I mean, look at summer baseball as an opportunity? I'm just looking, for example, at a guy like Richard Gutierrez, who got to play with his junior college team, but had just an okay year. And this year, this summer, he's crushing the baseball. He's hit four homers, obviously, with the wood bat. So how do you kind of find those diamonds in the rough a little bit? And how eager are guys typically to show what they can do during the summer?
Yeah, so it's back to the recruiting thing. It's a little easier to recruit JUCO guys just because anywhere but Division I baseball, I mean, even Division I baseball, they finish kind of late into the season. And, you know, based on where you're recruiting out of, if there's Division I talent that's playing in postseason baseball, they're going all the way into June and into the middle of June. So it's a tough thing to have guys and have a team ready to go, you know, whenever our season started. We started on June 1st this year. I think our guys reported on May 27th or May 28th. So, you know, you kind of got to recruit the JUCO level guys and Division II and, you know, maybe mid-major D1s. And again, you kind of look and you kind of go off what their coaches say. You know, you put faith in the programs that you recruit to and the coaches that you talk to, and they'll tell you. Because, I mean, we have a bunch of JUCO guys right now, but I guarantee you there's going to be some guys that end up playing Division I ball that are from our team this summer that they're out of JUCO right now. But here in a year or two, they will be at a Division I. So we look at it in that perspective, and we kind of want to help grow and help them gain confidence and go into their sophomore season at their JUCO and have a really good sophomore year.
Talking with Colton Flax, he's the manager of the Derby Twins. They play the San Diego Stars tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at X Stadium. They are 2-0 in their pool play. They are assured of advancing to bracket play, which starts Wednesday. Colton, thanks for spending time with us. We appreciate it. And go Derby.
Absolutely. Go Derby, and appreciate you guys having me on. And we're hoping to make a good run here and finish our season strong.
All right. Thanks. You, Colton. All right, Colton Flax from Derby Twins. We'll continue to cover NBC
got some
World
news.
Series. Breaking news.
No. Outfielder Dylan Carlson is drawing interest from the Guardians, Angels, and Nats for a source.
How do you feel about getting Dylan?
I'd be thrilled.
Can't do anything, but how do you feel about him?
Oh, just bring him in and stand him in center.
Feel bad for Dylan because he looked at one time like a potential star.
Not sure
did. Not going to say superstar. That's crazy. But he looked like a star when he came up. And he's completely lost his way. And that's the kind of guy that I could see doing fairly well with a new team.
Well, maybe after a stint in AAA.
Yeah.
Let's just pump the brakes on Dylan Carlson.
Well, who will you give us for him?
A dollar? I don't know.
What about Ramirez?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I got to ask.
Rafael Ramirez Jr.?
The way we're moving right now, I got to ask.
Probably not that Ramirez.
Steven Kwan?
Probably not.
Who's your closer? Emmanuel Clase.
Unlikely.
I don't blame you. Jay Delling joins us. We're going to talk about the Heritage Classic. It's coming up this week out at Rolling Hills Country Club. It's kind of an homage to the LPGA Tour, which was founded right here in Wichita. Jay, hello.
Hey, how are you guys? Well, 1980,
I think I'm just going to start calling you Mr. Golf. Are you Mr. Golf? Are you good with that?
I'm good with that.
So tell our listeners something. What is the Heritage Classic? Why is it? I kind of mentioned why it's happening in Wichita. Just talk about the history of it and what we should look forward to this week out at Rolling Hills besides excessive heat?
Yeah, it's gonna be hot out here. You know, I was out here last year, and I was just so impressed with the product that this tour has out here, the Onica WAPT. And just to give you and the listener some context, it's kind of like the men's Canadian tour. So you got the PGA Tour, you got the Korn Ferry, and then you've got the Canadian Latino Tours, right? So it's kind of that maybe double-A baseball. So this tour was started about, you know, 6 years ago, just like the Korn Ferry was, to give these young players a chance to develop their games. And Rolling Hills just really latched onto it. David Guy, the director of golf out here and the tournament director, has really gotten into the history of Rolling Hills and women's golf. 74 years ago, Babe Zaharias, one of the biggest names ever in women's golf, won the U.S. Women's Open at Rolling Hills by 9 shots. And she was so happy about that, she gathered 12 other great players of the day, and they carved it out over, a pen and a napkin. And they created this business plan and this vision for the LPGA Tour. And so David Guy really wanted to kind of tie that into professional golf, and this opportunity for the Annika Sorenstam, who has put her name on it, the WAPT Tour. And 3 years ago, it started here at Rolling Hills. And in fact, this year, this is the Tour Championship. This is the creme de la creme of a year-long chase for these players to get on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, that kind of answers part of my question. I was going to ask you kind of what's at stake here, because we know in the Korn Ferry Tour you can get your PGA Tour card. So what would be the next step logically for these young women, and what ultimately are they playing for on this tour?
Well, the top five on Sunday, once all the smoke is cleared, the top five will be awarded to go to the finals of Q School. They'll be able to skip all the first couple of stages. They'll be able to go to the finals to compete for a chance to go on the LPGA Tour next year, or to be a member of the Epson Tour, which is the Korn Ferry equivalent. And this is my first year to be really heavily involved, so I'm still learning about this tour, but I do know the first two winners of the Heritage Classic, both the next year went on to have some kind of conditional status on the LPGA Tour. And so when you look at this event, Marielle Galdiano a couple years ago won this event. Last year, Gurleen Kaur set a all-time tour record of 23 under par here at Rolling Hills. And, you know, the next year, this year, she's got some kind of conditional status on the LPGA Tour. So these girls can play. I watched 9 holes of the final group last year, followed them for the first 9 holes. They played in threesomes, and the threesome carded 8 birdies accumulatively on the front 9. So it's what got my attention, because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know the kind of play that this tour had, but I was a little surprised, but I was certainly impressed. And then you guys know me. I'm a sucker for history, just like you two are. And I fed into the all the great stories about how Rolling Hills is a huge part of the development of women's professional golf.
Talking with Jay Delling, he's involved with the Heritage Classic. It's running all week, but the tournament itself Thursday through Sunday out at Rolling Hills Country Club. And we look forward to that. Actually, Wednesday, right? It starts on Wednesday.
No, the Pro-Am's Wednesday, and then tournament proper starts on Thursday.
Okay. So what level of player do we have here? Are these mostly collegiate players from the United States? Are these international players? Is it a mixture? What kind of field are we looking at?
Yeah, 127 players representing 18 countries. And we have players that have played in U.S. Opens, U.S. amateurs in the last couple of years. We've got college All-Americans, a lot of, 21, 22, 23-year-old ladies that, again, much like the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, that tour has just gotten so young. As I look over the starting field and do a little bit of research on these ladies, a lot of them are that, 21, 22, 23 years old. Haley Cooper, for example, has only played three events this year, fresh off a great career at Texas A&M, was a college All-American. She's played in the U.S. Open. She's fourth on the points list in only three events. She's get this, she's got two wins and a seventh place finish. So these girls can play. I expect Haley Cooper to be on the LPGA Tour next year. So there's a lot of stories like that. One of our own local players, Kinsley Jones, the granddaughter of Greer Jones, received a sponsor exemption. She's had a great high school career. She'll be a senior next year at Mays High School. She's already won two or three state championships. I'm a member out at Reflection Ridge and live on the first hole. I see her out there all the time. Greer's out there working with her. So it'll be interesting. This will be her first professional tournament. So some local ties there. So a lot to look forward to. We're going to have good weather. It's going to be hot weather. You don't have to pay a penny to get in. Free admittance to watch, the future stars of tomorrow in women's golf.
I don't know how closely you follow it, Jay, but what have been your observations about the LPGA Tour? I know Lexi Thompson is retiring. Michelle Wee retired a few years ago. It seems like the tour had always kind of been built around one or two stars, mainstream people. Annika Sundstam has been one of those in the past. Do they have that now? And with women's sports in general kind of taken off, is the LPGA keeping up, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many great players from Asia. And they are great players. So the U.S. actually has the number one ranked women's player in the world, Nelly Korda. If you remember Peter Korda, who is a pretty good tennis player, played professionally. But Nelly is the number one player in the world. And there for a while Scottie Scheffler was winning his, four or five tournaments in a row, she was doing the same thing during the same time on the ladies tour. And so she's a very dominant player. And there's several other American women players. And again, they're all young. They're all very young. So I think the women's game is in a pretty good shape. I mean, they're playing for $125 million this year, the purses on the LPGA Tour. And I think the purse at Rolling Hills for the U.S. Women's Open in 1950 was, I think, $4,000, the total purse. So they come a long way.
Talking with Jay, yeah, that's pretty good. That reminds me of the way my salary's gone up lately. Jay Delling, our guest. Jeff didn't like that, by the way. He looked off into space like, what's this old man saying? Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, because he didn't get the he didn't get his allowance when he was growing up.
That's right.
He saved a lot of money that way.
So Jeff alluded to the fact that women's sports is kind of in the spotlight in many different ways right now, and with what's going on the PGA Tour and LIV and the way that's kind of been divided, it seems to me like this is a really good opportunity for women's golf to at least get into the spotlight a little bit, and that this tournament in particular could really take off and become another golf tournament in Wichita that we very much look forward to every summer. Do they talk like that around the Heritage Classic? Do they see the potential for growth?
Yeah, you know, David Guy and his staff here have actually talked about that, and the vision is, you know, in a perfect world would be elevating how they run a tournament. And I've been around the Wichita Open for 35 years, and they do a great job. I'm so proud of the city, this part of Kansas on the job they do with the Wichita Open. I'm telling you what, Rolling Hills rolls out the red carpet. And to talk to these ladies about how Wichita is exponentially just better than any of the other tour events. Tomorrow night is the welcome party, and Rolling Hills is rolling out their best menu. They feed these girls like you can't believe, and these girls are used to, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers at all the other events. And so Wichita has grown very quickly on this tour as the place to play, so much so that the vision for Wichita is to ultimately host an Epson Tour event. So to your point, Bob, I think there's a lot of opportunity for the growth of women's golf and how they operate, how they run. Again, to Jeff's point, I think there's some emerging American professionals who are making the game fun to watch. I mean, if you follow Nelly Korda, she's got a really good personality. She's fun to watch. She cracks jokes, and it's like, you know, playing with a buddy on Saturday morning. So I think there's a lot of potential, as you said, Bob, for this tournament to grow. And you know, Wichita is a good place for it, because we know that Wichita wraps their arms around yearly iconic athletic events. The NBC tournament has been around for, you know, a million years. The Wichita Open has been around for 35 years. And I think this is a great addition.
All right, Jay, we always appreciate it. There's a bunch of shade trees at Rolling Hills, so if you want to get out and watch and try to stay cool, you can certainly sit in or stand in the shade. We appreciate you coming on to talk about this tournament.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
All right, Jay Delling from the Heritage Open coming up this week, Thursday through Sunday, at Rolling Hills Country Club. We've got a Bob and Jeff draft coming up in hour number two. Tomorrow on the show, comedian Felipe Esparza will be among our guests. We look forward to that. Stay with us, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.